From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, one of the most influential men in fisheries policy will be going to prison after admitting to federal fisheries violations. Seafood.com's John Sacton weighs in on the Arnie Fugelbog situation. And will enough kings reach the border to make the Canadians happy? All that and the pink salmon season looks strong in Southeast and in Kodiak Island waters. Coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A former congressional aide may spend as much as 10 months in prison for fishing violations while he was a member of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Matt Miller has more.
Arnie Fugelvog submitted his resignation Sunday as fisheries aide to Senator Lisa Murkowski. In a statement, Murkowski thanked Fugelvog for his years of service and said he has cooperated fully with the authorities, taken responsibility for his actions, and accepted the consequences. On Monday, federal prosecutors filed a single charge of violating the Lacey Act against Fugelvog and announced a plea deal that had been in the works since at least last April. According to court documents, prosecutors say Fugelvog falsely reported locations of his sablefish catches between 2001 and 2006. From 2003 until he was hired by Senator Murkowski in 2006, Fugelvog also served on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council that's responsible for managing sablefish and other species in federal waters off of Alaska. According to court documents, prosecutors single out the 2005 season in which Fugelvog allegedly caught twice his quota of sablefish in the western Yakutat area. He allegedly covered up his illegal fishing by falsely claiming that the other half of the catch, about 30,000 pounds, was caught in the central Gulf. Fugelvog was charged with violating the Lacey Act because the fish, valued at $100,000, was transported as part of interstate commerce. He's expected to plead guilty during arraignment next Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. He declined to comment Tuesday. Prosecutors have declined to comment until after the court hearing. As outlined in the plea agreement, the possible sentence includes a $50,000 fine in addition to 10 months in prison. He must also pay $100,000 to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation for enhancing fish habitat along the Gulf of Alaska coast. He must also have an announcement acknowledging his wrongdoing published in National Fisherman magazine. Fugelvog grew up fishing in Petersburg and was named Highliner of the Year by National Fisherman magazine in 2003. He also worked as president of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association and served on the council's advisory panel before his appointment as a full member. He was also a candidate to head up the National Marine Fisheries Service but withdrew from consideration in 2009. With help from Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, I'm Matt Miller reporting in Juneau.
When it was revealed on Tuesday that Fugelvog pleaded guilty to federal fisheries violations in reaching a deal with prosecutors, the announcement resonated from coast to coast. John Sacton, the editor and publisher of Seafood.com, a daily industry newsletter, called the violations a betrayal in his Wednesday commentary.
Today I want to talk about a betrayal of trust. Arnie Fugelvog, who I've known for years, was a former fisheries aide for Lisa Murkowski. He was also a former member of the North Pacific Management Council, and he was one of the fiercest advocates and defenders of the halibut and sablefish IFQ program. Well, it turns out that Arnie has accepted a plea agreement where he's going to go to jail for falsifying the places where he caught sablefish and violating the terms of his permit. This is a radical betrayal of trust. When Ben Stevens in the Alaska legislature was accused of corruption, I didn't feel any personal sadness because you expect politicians to be corrupt at a certain level. There's just too much money and too much venality at stake. But the whole process of fishery management, particularly catch share fishery management, where individual fishermen get quotas of a public resource, absolutely depends on 100% trust that the commercial fishery people who are operating these quotas are honest and upstanding and reliable. Arnie, of course, was a big advocate for catch share programs and talked about the success of halibut and sablefish. So the fact that he cheated, that he lied about where sablefish was caught, in violation of the terms of his permit really hurts, and it hits at home especially hard. Sablefish has hot spots. You know, it's not equally distributed throughout the ocean. And consequently, it's possible to fish out a population in one area if everybody rushes in and fishes in the same hot spot. The reason that the sablefish permits are managed by a particular area is precisely to spread out the fishing effort and avoid the depletion that could happen if all of the sablefish quota holders fished in one spot. Oftentimes when you're out on the water, yes, you see things. You come into areas where you catch more fish than you might expect. You come into areas where the fishing is really good. But under the catch-share system, it's your responsibility to live up to what you've promised to do. And this is what Arnie has failed to do. Unfortunately, I think to have this kind of betrayal at this level really sets back the cause of good fisheries management and the importance of catch-share programs. It says that fishermen cannot be trusted. If some of the most highly visible and prolific and most important spokespeople are themselves guilty of venality and sort of trying to make a quick buck rather than live within the terms of their permit, then who is left? Who can be trusted? It puts us back at the mercy of government regulation, government enforcement, and government regulators. And that is not the direction I want to see us go. Unfortunately, Arnie Fugelvog betrayed the faith that many of us had in him. In Lexington, Mass., this is John Sacton.
That's Seafood.com editor and publisher John Sacton.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the whole show online anytime at kmxt.org. It's looking like escapement of Yukon River king salmon into Canada will not meet objectives. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Yukon River summer season manager Steve Hayes says Chinook Passage, measured near the Alaska-Canada border at Eagle, is below the season goal.
Through July 28th, we've got approximately 36,500 Chinook that have passed the Eagle Sonar Project. Of course, preseason, you know, we were projecting a poor return of Chinook salmon, so we have had quite a bit of restrictions on the subsistence fishery throughout the drainage to obtain that goal of approximately 50,000 Chinook is what we were looking at getting across the border for escapement and, of course, to provide for Aboriginal harvest in Canada.
A says subsistence fishing restrictions were to have remained in place in the Eagle area until 6 p.m. Monday in an attempt to get as many fish from the third and final pulse of kings across the border into Canada.
The third pulse that we're protecting through that area right now is about all we have left as far as pulses. We'll see some, you know, fish that'll be passing the sonar daily, but as far as any abundance, this is about all we have left to protect.
This year's king escapement into Canada is better than last year, though. Along with more fishing closures in Alaska, a net mesh size reduction took effect this summer and was aimed at getting additional bigger, more productive kings upstream to spawn. Southeast commercial purse seine season is off to a record-setting start, with the fleet harvesting big numbers of pink salmon on the northern end of the region. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game was forecasting a strong harvest of 55 million pinks this season in Southeast, and the catch is well on its way to reaching the forecast or even surpassing it. The final week in July saw a catch of 18.8 million humpies, with the fleet adding another 4.9 million in the final week. That brings the catch by the end of July to 23.7 million and already surpasses last year's total catch. Bill Davidson, Fish and Game's Regional Salmon Management Coordinator, says it's a record-setting catch for this time of year and tops even the biggest years on record.
What remains to be seen is how the middle and late run systems develop and how the south end develops. So far, 97% of the seine harvest has been in the northern districts as opposed to the southern districts as far as pink salmon go. Very highly predominantly a North End show this far. I think from this point on, we're going to have to see as the North early runs wind down on the North End, we're going to see a redistribution of effort.
As a comparison, last year at this time, the catch had not yet totaled 2 million. Some single openings this year have seen catches top 2 million pinks in District 12 in Chatham Strait alone. And so far, most of the catch has come in northern southeast with big numbers of pinks netted in Icy Strait, along with the Admiralty Island and Chichagof Island shorelines of Chatham Strait. On the flip side, seining in southern southeast has been slow. Districts 1 through 4 around Prince of Wales and Ketchikan have had reduced fishing time and lower returns, and the fleet has focused its efforts on the northern end. Davidson said that could change in the next few weeks.
That catch is off the charts high. You know, going back, we had a 14.5 million by this time in 1989 and 14.2 million in 2005 and 11 million in 1963. In the record year, we only had 6 million by this time. So any way you look at it, we've had a record catch for this stage of the year.
Fish and Game has seen landings from 225 seine boats this summer, which is up just slightly from a slow year last year. The department has switched to a two-day-on, two-day-off fishing regime to get a better idea of the returns in the middle and latter part of the season. The average price is 41 cents a pound for seine-caught pink salmon at the docks, and chum salmon are going for more than 80 cents a pound. If the high returns keep up, those prices could help the fishery set a record for ex-vessel value. Normally about 30% of the catch is in by the end of July. The pink season typically peaks in early to mid-August. Meanwhile, in Kodiak Island waters, the pink salmon harvest is starting to take off. But as area management biologist James Jackson points out, it's a mixed bag.
Before the start of the season, we knew that, you know, some places were going to be stronger than others, and those were going to be the Allatak District, the Eastside Kodiak District, and even around town, and then Katoy. And other than Katoy, which is the hatchery, which looks either late or weak, I'd more tend to think it's actually late, you know, the Eastside and Allatak look average to above average. Those are our bright spots on the island. In fact, the majority of the harvest you've been seeing the last few days have been coming out of those areas. And we've actually had enough escapement in some of those places to already start rolling back, you know, closed waters to see if we can cork off some of those runs. But other than that, you know, the west side, a Fognak, and the mainland look well below forecast. It's kind of a strange year.
He said the catch will have to start hitting a million fish a day in the next week if the preseason forecast is to meet its goal of nearly 30 million fish. Jackson said fishing effort has been good and that a lot of seiners have been shifting districts to take advantage of the stronger runs. Meanwhile, the Kodiak sockeye catch so far has come in above average, though for the fourth year in a row, the Karlik early run did not make its escapement goal. The Karlik late run reds, however, are on pace to meet escapement.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by
the Pebble Partnership, pursuing jobs and opportunities for Southwest Alaska. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KTOO's Matt Miller in Juneau, KFSK's Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, Seafood.com's John Sacton in Lexington, Massachusetts, and KUAC's Dan Bross in Fairbanks. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.